everybody, and welcome back to the Fielder Podcast. I'm Becky, and again, I'm still super surprised they're letting me do this, but praise God, I'm going to take every time I can. Right. And then this is our online pastor. And we have a very, very special podcast that I'm like super nervous about, but it's like good nerves because I know it's so important and it's so deep rooted in like so much of church culture. And I know everybody has struggled with this at one point in time. And so we're talking about bitterness today. So it's a super vulnerable topic. But I think I've seen so much of the Lord and his kindness and his identity in this. But I think before we get started, Zer, do you mind opening us up in prayer?
Yeah, no, I'd love to. God, I'm grateful for this opportunity to have a conversation about something that I think many of us, and if not all of us, God, we struggle with bitterness. And Lord, I just simply ask, would you give us your mercy in this time?
Yeah.
God, that any bitterness, even in our own hearts right now, God, that you would uproot it and that we would be able to release it to you. And God, even in the conversation about it, God, I know it's so easy to, I don't know, for thoughts and bitterness to arise just in remembering it. But God, just give us grace in this moment. And I ask in the name of Jesus that you would fill us with wisdom, that as we're talking, as we're discussing this, God, that it would bless your people that are watching this podcast right now and listening. So God, we entrust this to you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, so I think we originally had a different topic in mind for today's episode. And then like a few weeks ago, I was like, hey, like the Lord's been showing me a lot in this specific season over this. I think we should talk about it. There's a lot of information on the front end that I'd like to talk about. And like, you can stop me at any point, clarify, ask more questions, sure. Like whatever you need. I don't know. It's not necessarily easy for me to become bitter towards people, but once I have bitterness, it's there. It's really hard to uproot it. Like I tend to like, it's hard for me to be bitter towards people. But once I'm bitter, like that's there. It might as well be tattooed on my forehead. Mm-hmm. Like it's really hard to work through it. And in this season, like it's been a crazy time here at the church. Like, you know, we have spring is such a busy season. And then also like I'm getting married in the month. Yeah. And so it's like, that's a lot. And so it's just been a super like high stress time. I'm mentally exhausted. I'm physically exhausted. And the Lord decided that now would be a good time to reveal a lot of bitter roots that I have in my heart. And I was like kind of bummed about it at first because I was like, bro, I'm exhausted. Like, are you also going to spiritually exhaust me? Like, are you also like, is now really the right time to do this? But, you know, praise God, like the Lord, he chooses a time when he like wants to heal us, which is such a blessing, because if it were up to me, I would still be walking in unhealth in so many areas. And so praise God. But it has been hard. And so I don't even know how it started, but basically my sleep, I get insomnia every now and then, and it started flaring up. And at night, whenever I'd be like trying to fall asleep, I would just remember some things. And there was a lot of things that like I had thought I had forgiven and moved on from, but they were still there. It was still there. And I'm talking like recent, I'm talking like in college, I'm talking like in previous like relationships, like just all kinds of stuff that it was just coming up. And I was like, God, like I thought I had given this to you. Like, what is happening? And in that journey of like, I'd be boiling with rage, I was just like furious, like to the point where I'd be like shaking, trying to fall asleep. And just, I couldn't stop thinking about how upset I was, how hurt I was, how angry I was at the people. And then in some cases, like the people never faced, I don't want, justice sounds too harsh of a word, but like basically like they were never exposed, like they were never corrected. There was no justice there. And so like I think that's another piece of it. And so I know that this is a two-part, like bitterness and unforgiveness, but as I've been on this journey and journaling and praying, the Lord has shown me so much. And one day I was like thinking through it and I was like, you know, a lot of the people that I know that also struggle with bitterness usually have low self-esteem or have some semblance of self-hatred. And I was like thinking through it and processing it. And I'm talking like every single person that I know that struggles with bitterness, they have some level of low self-esteem or self-hatred. And so I was like thinking through that, and I was like, God, it like, is that something that you want me to dig into? And I felt like he was saying yes. And so I went on a deep dive, like a Google deep dive, a Bible deep dive. And there is a correlation there. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about is like the correlation of self-hatred, self-worth, self-value, and bitterness. And so, yeah, so like it was, I kind of, that's another thing that I struggle with. I like have a lot of like self hatred tendencies. And I think like we talked about in the first podcast about like how I've, even as a child, I've always known I've been a broken sinner. Like that's always something I've been aware of. And so that has that kind of set the foundation for that, that I've struggled with my whole adult life and, you know, my whole life, basically. And so, I've been kind of like digging through that. And like there's a correlation there. Like there's like articles from Johns Hopkins Medicine, from like Psychology Today, like all kinds of organizations and medical science that have proven that there's a correlation there. It doesn't cause it, obviously, but there's some type of correlation there, which is crazy to think about. I've never thought about it like that.
No, honestly, I've never even, until I saw your message on, I was like, man, I had to really think about it too. But as you were just like studying the scripture and even doing a Google search on these things, like what were some of the like maybe highlights that you kind of discovered?
So immediately a verse popped out in Matthew 22 where Jesus was talking about, it's like, you know, the golden commandment, the golden rule. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. This is, this must be King James Version, but bear with me. So thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all the heart, well, with all thy soul and all thy mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so that like, that, that phrase, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I was like, that was kind of one of the things that as I was like spending time in prayer with the Lord about it, that he just revealed, he was like, how can you, it's so much easier for you to disregard and be hateful and vengeful towards another person because you don't see yourself as a temple of God. Like you don't see yourself as someone with value, someone with identity, someone that was, that has been given worth by God. Like, you know, this isn't just like, you know, someone that slaps like a, you know, good job sticker. Like this is God, like the God of the universe who created me, who has like secured my salvation through Christ. Like he has assigned worth to me. And so if I can't even accept that, how much easier is it for me to discredit that value in others? Because ultimately, like whenever you hate somebody, you're just like devaluing them as a person. And I think like the, like we titled this podcast, The Inhumanity of Bitterness, is because like the phrase inhumanity is just like, it's not, it's against humanity. Like it's degrading humans. And so it's like, I think ultimately bitterness is not only a reflection of how you're degrading yourself to the point where you feel like your value is contingent on somebody else getting justice. And you're also discrediting their value to the kingdom. And like whether or not they're believers, like that's irrelevant. Like it does not matter. Like I think we do have, we tend to have higher expectations for fellow believers, which as we should, you know, that's valid. But at the same time, like bitterness doesn't know like the distinction between believer and not believer. You'll be bitter regardless.
Because hurt is hurt regardless of who gives it, whether it's a believer or unbeliever, you're hurt. And then your bitterness is a result of that.
100% And so that was kind of something that I was like really kind of digging through. And then there's an interesting study that I came across in my research called the Dartmouth Scar Study. And it was like an experiment, a social experiment in the 90s. And basically what they did, it's actually really smart. They brought in a bunch of people and they told them, you're going to be, we're going to put like prosthetic scars on your face. And then you're going to go get job interviews and we're going to see if people judge you based on your face, like facial scars. And so they told them that, and then they went in to get the prosthetics, and then they were, and then they got to look at themselves in the mirror to see what it looked like. And then they were like, okay, now go to your job interview. But what they didn't tell them is like they were like, actually, you need to go get a touch up. And so they would send them to go get a touch up. But then the makeup artist would completely remove the scar. Mm. And so they'd go into these job interviews thinking they still had the scar, yeah. having seen it. But in reality, they didn't. And whenever they came back, they like almost all of them were telling the researchers, like, yeah, I was judged. I was like, people were looking at me weird. Like people were mean and rude to me. Like they weren't giving me the time of day. And it's just like back to that concept of like how you perceive yourself immediately influences how you think others perceive you and how you perceive them.
Yeah.
And so I just thought that was so fascinating. Yeah. And then I was also looking through there's kind of like another verse that kind of came up to my mind. It's in Leviticus, in the book of the law, basically. In Leviticus 19:18, and it says, like, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Yeah.
And that verse, I thought it was interesting because that specific law ended with the phrase, I am the Lord. And so it's because we know the identity of God that we're able to, we don't have the freedom to bear grudges.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like, and so just, it's because of the identity that we know God has as our creator and the identity that we have in ourselves is that we're able to release, we're able to forgive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like we're all created. I love that you're making that emphasis because there at the end of the verse in Leviticus, it is the reminder of I am the Lord and who is the Lord? He revealed himself in the very beginning in Genesis as creator God. Yes. As the one in whom we get our likeness, right? We are made in the image of God, in his likeness. And so, when we don't have a right view of ourselves created in the image of God, then you're absolutely right. Like, it is inhumane. It is degrading then when we should view them as well as people created in the image of God. Man, it's good.
And, and, like, I think another thing that just really, really... I feel like I was taught this in my early days of discipleship is like typically whenever you sin, it comes from one or two like foundational things. Mm. You're either forgetting the identity of God, you're forgetting who he is, or you're forgetting your identity.
Yeah.
And so I think this is a combination of both because whenever you're bitter towards somebody again, like usually there's a concept of like self-righteousness, like they wronged me. They didn't face any justice. Yes. They're still getting away with it. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows the truth. Like there's like that self-righteous tendency, which people with self-hatred often are prone to. Because if whenever you're disrespected and you have such little self-worth and self-value, like you have like this tiny little box of self-worth. Mm-hmm. And when someone hurts you or crosses you, that's all you have. Yeah. And so they're like, it's twice as affecting because they're offending the entirety of who you are because your self-worth is consolidated to that tiny little piece, you know?
Yeah.
Which,
like, can we just, I'm just going to shift the gear a little bit.
Yeah, please.
Because then the exact opposite of that is true. When you actually live in your identity and you actually understand, like, this is how I'm created in the image of God. And then, especially as a believer, that God loved me so much that he would send forth his son, Jesus, to live the life I could never live, to die the death that I deserve. And that's the worth that is given to me, not because of anything in me, but all because of that's just God demonstrating his love towards me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then the response then is instead of bitterness, it really is like, who am I to hold the bitterness?
And I'm so glad you brought that up because that kind of brought me to something else that I came across. And I've heard about this in counseling. You should go to counseling.
It's pretty fire. Right. Shout out.
Shout out to Impact Counseling.
I get my free six sessions. I use them.
Hit us up at info@fielder.com for more information on Impact Counseling. So one thing that I've heard through and talked about and kind of did some more research is the trauma triangle. Mm. And so it's like a triangle of trauma, usually in like some scenarios, and there's three specific roles. And so there's the victim role, the one who got the hurt, the perpetrator role, the one who did the hurting, and then the abandoning authority role. So the one who could have done something to protect the victim, but didn't.
Wow.
And so in many cases of trauma, that's usually like the three identifying markers that they typically have you work through. or that they sometimes will have you work through. And as I was thinking through this, I was like, bitterness, you know, woundedness usually comes from some semblance of trauma. And we don't want to use the term trauma too, like, lightly. Loosely, yeah, or too sure. lightly, because, like, these are very, like, you know, someone cutting me off in traffic.
Yeah.
Like, that's likely not traumatic. Yes. But, like, if someone, you know, deeply wounds you, mm-hmm. that's a form of trauma. And there's a trauma response to it. And so, like, typically... you know, as I was thinking through it and as I came across that, I was like thinking through the people that I've, you know, harbored bitterness towards. And I was like, yeah, 100%. It's been like a victim role, perpetrator role. But I think another core issue here is, as I was thinking about it, is like, yeah, there's been abandoning authority roles in some of those scenarios. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately, because God is my authority, yeah. and I identify him as that, I think a core, like at the center of bitterness is the thought that God isn't your advocate. It's a lack of trust in yeah. God being your justice, God being your yes. glory and your joy. Yeah. And so it's like whenever you have that kind of trauma triangle, it's like, yeah, you're usually always going to put yourself in the victim role, even though you might have had a hand in it, you yeah. might not have. But you're always going to identify ourselves in the victim role, and then the perpetrator role is the person that we're, or the people that we're harboring bitterness against. And then abandoning authority role is... you know, can sometimes be God. And we're like, yeah. God, why didn't you defend me? God, why didn't you bring me justice? Yeah. God, why didn't you do this? Yeah. And so it like changes how you view God. And so yeah. it's like, God, we know God is holy. He cannot mm-hmm. sin. He mm-hmm. does not have that capability. We know that God is sovereign. We know that God is good. Mm-hmm. And so whenever you put him in the abandoning authority role, yeah. you're putting all of those doubts about who yeah. you believe he actually is yeah. in your head. You yeah. know what I'm saying?
100%.
And so I was just like amazed by that, like, concept of like how I've whenever I'm harboring bitterness to it, typically there's some type of like core fear that God is yeah. not for me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah That's so I'm just gonna start sharing,
yeah, please,
like my own experience. So my dad, so my mom, 2021, I think I shared this on the podcast, but
yeah,
just so. For those of you that are, this is the first episode you're listening in on, my mom passed away in 2021 to COVID in September. And what, September, October, November, December, my dad remarried. And so that was like a, you know, like,
yeah.
it was a shock yeah. and it was hurt. It was very hurtful. And there was a lot of pain that was associated with it. And very quickly, I became bitter towards my dad. Yeah. It was just easy to be bitter because it's like, man, you couldn't have just, like, I get it. You got to do what you got to do, you know, but like, you couldn't have just waited. You know, you could have just
taken the proper time to grieve.
Taken the proper time yeah. to grieve. Like, are you sure you made the right decision kind of thing? Like, those are the kinds of things that were popping up in my mind. But I don't, it's completely by the grace of God. Now, there were some other circumstances that kind of expedited it. But ultimately, there came a point where me and my four siblings came around my dad, and we basically had to, like, we all were just reminded of, like, the gospel.
Yeah.
Like, if God had forgiven me, like, think about it, right? If we had rebelled against God, he could have, he can't deny himself, but I'm just saying, humanly speaking, he could have been bitter, right?
Peace. Like, yeah, right, yeah, yeah,
you're going to rebel against
100%.
Me, then.
Right, right.
Like, then, you know, have your way. But instead, God demonstrates his love towards us in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
And that really was the root of us just being able to say, like, Dad, you heard us. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't in the way in which we would have wanted you to get remarried. But all of that really is nothing in comparison to the fact that, like, we love you.
Yeah.
That you're loved by God. And so in that, we're choosing to forgive you, Dad.
Yes.
And move beyond the bitterness. And I'll be honest, like, there, forgiveness, bitterness, and even, like, reconciliation, like, all of that. So, for example, we were bitter, but then soon we went into forgiveness, like, just choosing to say, yeah. like, God, or, like, my dad, in love, I forgive you. But it took a while for us, like, our relationship's a little bit different now, you know, but we are
at peace.
At peace.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I'm so glad you brought that up. And I have, like, you know, a few examples that I could talk through. But, like, I think one of my biggest hurts is just, like, I think I was in a, you know, the one of the guys that I dated kind of took advantage of me in a lot of ways. Yeah. And that hurt. You know, and I think that that woundedness and unforgiveness, and that all happened before Jesus. And so it's like after I came to faith, the Lord made it clear that this is an area that we need to talk about. And just like that concept of like me wanting to be vindicated, me wanting to be to for the Lord to like advocate for me, God, like bring me justice, you know, bring me justice. And I think he kind of brought me back to the root of like the desire to see myself elevated in some way over that person. And I think like one of the things that he reminded me of is he was like, you know, I am a just God, you know, I do bring justice, but if I decide to pay that justice for them, that is not your concern. And that was like, so like, it was hurt. It didn't hurt. I don't want to say that, but it was like so alarming that that's how he would talk about. But then again, like that goes back to the gospel of like the funny thing, the hypocrisy behind bitterness is like we have sinned against God, you know, like we have hurt him deeply, wounded him deeply, betrayed him, taken advantage of him and his goodness. And he paid that justice on our behalf because of his love. And it kind of reminded me also of like there's a verse in 2 Corinthians where it says, and this is specifically as it pertains to the body of Christ, but like anyone who you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. And the commentary that I was reading about it was talking about how we do not, since like once we understand the depths of the forgiveness that we've gotten from Christ, we do not require like a payment for the sin of other people, because we understand that we ourselves were guilty and didn't have to pay that price. And so like in the community of faith, like, you know, there's ways that you can address it, like talk through it, reconcile, but reconciliation looks different. I'm so glad that you talked about that. Like, cause I think we have a glamorized view of it of like I'm going to get over it. It's fine. Switch the, you know, switch the, or flip the switch, you know, and like, it's going to be back to normal. But that's not true. And that's not the case. And I don't think in a lot of ways that's healthy either, because sometimes like I think forgiveness is a process and it's a choice. And like, I think a lot of times specifically with deep hurt, you have to forgive that person over and over and over again and like choose to forgive them in response to the gospel. You know, like you can't, like you have to truly like hear the gospel and like allow it to transform how you live your everyday life, and that influences how you forgive and how you treat and how you reconcile with other people.
Just because I was actually like discerning, I was praying like, Lord, do you want me to share this part? Just because it's actually current. I'm in a process of bitterness reconciliation. I was like, Lord, do you want me to share this? Well, all right, here we go. The fuller, I guess fuller, is that a word? The fuller part of the story of my dad is that some of my extended family, so my dad's siblings and then my cousins, his nieces and nephews, you know, they knew my dad for a longer period of time than I've been alive. You get what I'm saying? Like, my dad's the youngest in the family, and so he has a lot of older siblings, so there's a lot of years in which they've known my mom and my dad. And so I understand it from a point of when my mom passed, they have a relationship with her, and, you know, and so they hold dearly the relationship that my dad had with my mom. So when she passed and then my dad gets remarried, they're angry and they're bitter towards my dad. Like, how could you do that to Edna? Like,
to her memory.
Yeah, to her memory. Why would you just go so quickly to the next? And us as his children, we were quick to defend our dad. Like, that season of like bitterness and grieving ended quickly, because we were really just like, I love my dad and I don't want him to feel alone. And so I'm choosing to remember the gospel that despite whatever decision my dad had made, I'm going to choose to love him. But then the bitterness, instead of going towards my dad, it went towards my extended family. It's like, man, we're his kids and we were able to forgive him. Why can't you?
Y'all move on.
Y'all move on. But then, again, counseling, praise the Lord for counseling.
Praise God.
Is just the reminder that, again, we all grieve differently. We all deal with pain differently. We're all in different stages. And it's like, bitterness is the choice to be like, I'm going to hold this grudge against you. You hurt my dad. You hurt me. And so I'm choosing to hold it. But really, forgiveness is the letting go. Like, if you truly believe that, like you mentioned, God is good. He's sovereign.
Yes.
He knows all things. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher. Like, when you truly believe that this is the character of God, then instead of holding this hurt over that other person in bitterness, we're able then to just release them and say, God, just as you've forgiven me, I want to freely forgive them. Now, our relationship, I mean, it's a little bit difficult because they're in California, I'm here in Texas, and there's a, you know, there's no real reason for us to cross paths anymore.
Yeah.
But it's like, there are moments where I'm like, man, I still hold bitterness. But then it's that constant, like, it's because I'm forgetting the gospel.
Yeah.
And then reconciliation, in Jesus' name, praying that it will come, you know, it's not going to look the same because things were said on both sides.
And things are different.
Yeah. But I can still choose to say, because God has loved me this much, I'm choosing to extend that love.
Yeah. And I think, and, you know, another personal story of mine is, like, I had a childhood incident of, I had, like, a large group of friends. Mm-hmm. And there was one day specifically where basically, like, it was just weird. And it's, like, again, this could be a whole different, you know, childhood trauma podcast, later. Sure. But I think the core incident that kind of marked me in so many ways is that, like, they were talking a lot of crap about me behind my back, like the group of them. And they were like my number one group of friends, like, you know, they were my people. Mm-hmm. And they just had a lot to say about me and didn't really say it to my face. And that has come up multiple times in my adulthood, like, where I have, like, a really close friend and I, like, love this person, I am for you, and then for one reason or another, they just talk a lot of crap behind my back. And about me. And it's like, and I think sometimes people are like, well, everything I've said, like, I would say to your face, and I'm like, yeah, but you didn't, you know? And so it's like, yeah, but you didn't. And you also haven't, you know, like, and so it's just like, I don't know. I think it was very clearly not done in love. And a lot of times it's like, you know, their own crap that they're like dealing with or not dealing with, that kind of, but that is like, again, like, in a lot of ways, I'm just kind of like, you know, a duck in water. Like, I let things slide off. But whenever, like, I trust you and I confide in you and you kind of betray that, that is, like, such a formula for me to, like, I already know I'm going to have to do bitterness work against you, you know, like, that's such a formula for me. And it's hard, like, it, because like it or not, that's going to happen. And also I've done it, you know, before, and, I can't just, like, and again, it goes back to just like that. My identity in Christ is like. And I think that's one thing that the Lord has been, like, re-communicating over me is, like, it doesn't matter what they say about you. It matters what I have said about you. And I have given you identity. I have given you value. I have told you everything, like, about who you are and about my purpose and my love for you. And so it's, like, it really doesn't matter what anybody else has to say. And, like, at the end of the day, the Lord knows my name, and that needs to be sufficient for me, you know, because I think, like, we can't, and the Bible talks about this all the time. Like, Paul talks about this in so many letters about, like, if you live for the perception of man, that is your reward. Like, you're going to have their good favor and their good graces, but that's it. Like, and so it's like, but whenever we live for, the goodness and the righteousness of God, like, there's so much more reward in that. Yeah. There's so much more blessing in that.
Yeah, for sure. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I also, like, one of the other things is, like, whenever you, again, like, kind of going back to, like, the self-hatred thing, is, like, typically there's a couple questions that I've been processing through is, like, acknowledging, number one, that there is pain somewhere. There's hurt in you somewhere. Like, bitterness, unforgiveness, like, that's rooted in something real. And so, like, identify that. Dig through that. Pray through that. Surrender that back to God, knowing that He's the healer. And then, like, you're also probably believing a lie about yourself or a lie about the other person. And so it's like, I think that's another thing is, like, what lie did I eat in that interaction or what lie am I building about this person that's likely not true? And so, like, address that, find that, like, and if that leads you to having a conversation with that person, do it. But I will say, not every forgiveness, like, interaction or reconciliation immediately has to have, like, a conversation. Like, that's not always the case.
Sometimes you just got to do the soul work.
Exactly. You know? Because sometimes you address it with the other person. They're like, what the heck are you talking about? I don't know. That happened. Like that's, and then that might lead to more hurt. Cause you're like, oh my God, they don't even remember. They're fake. You know? And so it's it's just like all these things. So you have to pray through that. And like the Lord will guide you in that, those reconciliation steps.
Yeah. So just real quickly, as you were just saying that, it's kind of like one of a litmus test. Like how I operate is like sensing the root of bitterness. Like if I start to feel a certain way about a certain someone, the question I ask myself is, can I think the best about this person? If I can't, then there's something in me that's like you said, like I'm believing a lie either about myself or I'm believing a lie about
them. Yeah.
And really, if the answer is ever no, I can't believe the best about this person.
Or even a hesitation.
A soul search for
me. Yeah, 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 I agree. And I think another way to like identify this kind of stuff is also like, can you, if the Lord were to ask you to pray blessings over them, would that be easy? Or would you have to argue with God?
Yeah.
And then like the other thing is also like, are you, if they are succeeding in a way, does that make you angry? Is there like hesitations or anything like that there? And so I think there's like stuff like that you know, I think like, and I also suppress my feelings a lot. I've talked about that before. And so I think a lot of times, like by the time I start feeling something, like I'm quick to suppress it. Don't do that. Like don't quench the spirit. Like the spirit is trying to like reveal areas of your life that are walking in wilderness. You're not walking in your identity, your proper identity in Christ. Like allow God to expose those things to you in his timing. Cause like I said, like recently I'm like, dang, I'm tired. Like you're going to do this now. Like, can we wait? But it's like, I think he needed me to get to a place of exhaustion because otherwise I'd fight him back on it. Yeah. But like this point, at this point I'm like, okay, let's do it. I guess you know, it's just like, I'm submitting to him more quickly. And so it's like, it's been such a refreshing time too. Cause I'm realizing like, the favor of God in uprooting bitterness. Like, you know, bitterness is a weight. It's literally like you're walking with a knife in your back. Like, and most of the time, you know, I think it also, like, my mom used to tell me a phrase and I'm sure she stole from Pinterest or something. Can't stop it. But like, basically like there's a phrase of like, people are not against you. They're for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so whenever it's like, they're not against me necessarily. And even if they are, like, that's not my place to discern. Like, I don't need to, you know, like dissect every interaction that I've had with this person to figure out if it was malicious or not. You know, I think at the end of the day, like our call is to forgive. Our call is to walk into obedience. Yeah. And if you're going to quench the spirit or be disobedient to God by harboring bitterness, then there's likely more soul work that you need to do. Like, are you believing a lie about yourself? Are you drenched in self-hatred to the point where you can't even see the value of that God has placed on you because you've been devalued by somebody else, you know, like someone else disrespecting me or devaluing me or betraying my trust, like that doesn't speak to the identity I have in Christ.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where it comes back to. It's all a response to the gospel.
Yeah.
And even at prayer gathering last night, like we were talking about prayer gatherings on
Wednesday nights, come on.
And so, even at prayer gathering last night, Pastor Jason was talking about how we don't, you know, I'm not an atheist. Like, you know, I very clearly will admit that. But there are areas of my life where I act as if I am. Like, I don't act like I'm walking with the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm acting outside of that. And I think bitterness and self-hatred is definitely those areas, because it's like you're not accepting the gospel truth about who you are, and you're devaluing the people around you that God has loved, that God died for that person. You know, like God, you know, the blood of Christ has given the opportunity for that person to be free from their sins. And so it's just like, it's all just a response back to the gospel. And so it's like, I've been so encouraged by that. Because again, like regardless of what people do to you or regardless of what you do to other people, that doesn't remove the identity that Christ has purchased for me.
100%.
You're
talking about response to the gospel.
Yeah.
The thing that came to my mind was, we take the Lord's Supper every single Sunday, not to be rote and routine, but we do it because we want to remind ourselves of the gospel.
Yeah.
And, you know, just thinking about the passage in Corinthians, like, you know, oftentimes we read it, or we actually don't read it. We just
Yeah.
It's kind of implied. But oftentimes in the passage in Corinthians, it talks about discerning the body. Like before we take of the bread and we take of the cup, it talks about discerning the body. And oftentimes we just talk about it as like, okay, is there any unconfessed sin in my own life?
Yeah.
Right? But what we also forget is the entire context of the book, when he talks about discerning the body, he's also talking about the body of believers.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the things that he, just as I was studying the passage, he talks about, Paul is referring to like discerning the body of like me and a, as a brother and a sister. And so it's like, if I have any grievance as well, not just like, do I have any personal sin against God, but like, if I have any grievance before another brother or another sister, I should go be made right with them, reconcile with them before I ever take the bread and the cup. And sometimes I'm just like, man, I wish we would read the passage more because of the fact that there's a warning in there.
Yeah.
He says, like, if we do not discern, those who eat and drink without first discerning the body will eat and drink judgment upon themselves. And then he says, that's why some of you are sick, and that's why some of you have even died.
Mm.
And it really, again, it goes back to, like, if the gospel, if we truly believe the gospel, like, think about this. We're about to take the Lord's, we're about to take the bread, and we're about to take the cup. And it's like, how am I going to be angry at my brother or sister and hold judgment upon them and hold bitterness against them, and then in the same breath try to be like, oh, thank you God for the benefits of salvation, for your bread, you know?
Yes.
It's like,
he's
trying to call out our hypocrisy, be like, go be made right first, then come back.
And I think, I love that you said that, because again, I also think like whenever someone sins against us and we're harboring bitterness, it's very much a focus on their sin as opposed to a focus on how unforgiveness itself is a sin. Like it is literally a sin. And the scripture like talks about it very much. And I like how you also brought up like how it like, you know, it's like it will affect your health, you know, like stuff like that. I'm also... I was reminded of this psalm, and I was like trying to find it while you were talking about it, about how there's a psalm that David wrote after his sin with Bathsheba and after he killed her husband Uriah. Go read it. The Bible, the Bible's crazy, bro. Like, go talk about it. But there's a verse that he talks about how he's basically like, my body is wasting away because of my iniquity. Like,
like Psalm 51, maybe.
I think it's 51, and I'm trying to find the verse, but like but basically like it's one of the psalms where he's talking about like, my body is wasting away because of the understanding of my sin, the waste of my sin. Like, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And so it's just, again, kind of going back to that too, of like how there's real legitimate like physical and spiritual consequences to unforgiveness. And a lot of that is the weightiness that you feel. It's not because the other you haven't seen the other person, you know, be exposed to the public or anything like that. Most of the time it's like your sin has an actual effect on the spirit, you know, or on your body. And so just again, like focus on how you can be obedient, not on how the other person can be obedient. You cannot control what they do. You cannot control whether or not they ever will apologize or where they ever will be made right. You cannot control that. But what you can control is being obedient to God right now.
Yes.
And he's wanting to give you freedom from bitterness. Yes. And I think like I think another symptom that you can identify if you're bitter, are you trying to find ways to constantly bring it up in conversation? Ooh, like, are you constantly trying to find ways to talk about it? Like, oh my God, this person freaking sucks. Or like, oh my gosh, this person did this to me. Or one time this happened to me. Like, and it's like, stop talking about it and talk about it with God. Like, quit trying to find an audience of like a peanut gallery to try and defend you. Like, talk about it with the Lord. Release it to the Lord. Like, he is our justice. He is our joy. And walk in obedience. Like, and I think like that's one thing, like my frustration has been just like identifying that it is a core issue of my like my own like my own sin against God. Like, I have sinned against him. I am self-righteous and also like questioning my value and my self-worth to God and just identifying that. And like the Lord is like, you know, scripture talks about how like, reveal to me any areas that aren't pleasing to you. And like, we're allowed to pray that. And he's good. And like, he'll work with you and he will like work in you and he'll refine you in the process. And you'll just feel so much more freedom in releasing that back to him.
Exactly. We got to
release. Release. Yeah. And it's not, we're not talking about it like it's easy, you know, yeah, like, let's be real. Like, you know,
it's more like,
we're like, like he's having to like break our fingers, yes, like our cold dead fingers, yes, to like rip out the bitterness. Man. It's not easy, but it's so worth it's it. Worth like, it's it. So yeah. worth it to walk in freedom. The Lord wants to restore to you your identity.
Yes.
He wants to remind you of the identity that he purchased on our behalf. And just, yeah, just like, again, have us walk in unity and in peace as brothers and sisters in Christ. So, yeah. Any final thoughts?
I would just, the last thing I just want to just toss this out there is we have the info at fielder.org. And hey, maybe there's some of you who you're watching this, you're listening to this, and you're really struggling with the root of bitterness in your life.
Yeah.
And sometimes what it takes is talking to somebody, and somebody that's a third party, somebody yeah. that's removed from the situation. And we want to be a resource for you. We want to be available for you. And so if you go to it or email info@fielder.org, we are readily available for you.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to talk with you. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you.
Yeah.
And like, if there's any specific topic that we didn't address yeah. or that we didn't talk about, tell us, and like, we'll happily talk through it. You know, and we want this to be, we don't want you to receive this as like a, you're a sinner, like you're dirty, yeah. busted and broken. Like, no, like we are all like it broken and we're in desperate need. Yeah, we are in desperate need of the reminder of the gospel every single day.
Yes.
And so we're there with you in the trenches. Yeah. Like, we want to encourage you. We want to give you the truth that the Lord has spoken to us. We might even need to make this a part two series, but for sure. either way, like, that's what we have right now. We love you guys. We hope that you were encouraged and challenged by this. Take time to pray with God about these things and talk to your community about it in a loving way. Not for disunity, but for you to be able to walk in the grace that is given by God.
Yes.
So, yeah, we love you guys.
Love you guys.
All right. Bye. See you next time.